So Forrest, actually what I want to start with is just a real brief kind of reminder description for everybody about Saturday's event, what actually is and what's going to be happening there.
It's called The Response, and it's a day of prayer and fasting that's been initiated by Governor Rick Perry and organized by a number of religious organizations. And the idea is that the world has become overrun by all these problems, and that we need to collectively cry out to God for help with economic woes, natural disasters, and this sort of thing. So it's taking place at Reliance Stadium in Houston on Saturday.
The group that you've written this article about, the New Apostolic Reformation, just tell us a little bit about that group.
It's a distinct movement within the kind of independent, charismatic, neo-Pentecostal world. And essentially, it's a loose association of individuals, organizations, kind of organized around certain tenets or precepts and a way of kind of doing worship, doing church. And I think one of the distinct characteristics is that these folks believe that there are modern-day apostles and prophets similar to those in biblical times. And in fact, many of the leaders of the New Apostolic Reformation movement consider themselves and are understood to be in their community as prophets or apostles that receive, you know, in some cases, revelation from God about what will and ought to take place in the sort of real world, the natural world.
And tell us a little bit more about some of their other beliefs. Are there any other things about the movement that kind of stand out as their sort of core, part of their core mission?
I mean, there's just a wide range of sort of beliefs. For example, I mean, one that kind of really struck me is interesting was pretty strong kind of anti-Freemasonry bent. A group here in Texas called the Texas Apostolic Prayer Network, which is kind of a spiritual warfare and prayer organization. It's part of a national network of similar individuals. For example, I did a tour of all the Mason facilities, buildings in Texas, and prayed over them and tried to divorce the buildings from the demon Baal. So that's going to strike people, I think, is a little unusual, I think.
So what is this movement's relationship then with Governor Rick Perry? How are they connected?
Well, I mean, the most basic level, if you look at the core group of organizers of the response and you look at, I think, the bulk of the endorsers and especially the early endorsers of the response, you find a set of people who are linked together through their involvement in what's essentially, a movement within the kind of within Christianity. And so, I mean, just at the most basic level, these are the people who are behind the response. Now, I think one of the reasons for that is that these people are very involved in prayer, corporate, collective, strategic prayer. So this isn't the kneeling at the foot of the bed at the end of the day praying to God type of thing. This is people engaged in strategic prayer for very specific things. For example, an end to the drought or political things around abortion or gay rights. These sort of things.
How did the governor and this movement, the New Apostolic Reformation, get together? Did they seek out the governor? Did he know some of them? How did they sort of come to coexist in this upcoming event and just sort of in each other's lives?
I don't know if we know exactly how they kind of converged. I mean, I do know that there was, for example, in 2009, Governor Perry in his office met with a couple apostle prophets who prayed over him prophetically. And, you know, they believe that Texas is a prophet state that has a unique God-ordained role to serve in the country and the world to lead us into revival and the institution of godly government that reflects the kingdom of God on earth. And so there was that, you know, there was that meeting. It was 2 years ago. As far as the extent of it, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, the governor, in one sense, is pretty private about his religious practices. in the other sense, he's on the world stage with a prayer event. So there's kind of interesting sort of duality there.
Do you know anything more specifically about what role members of the New Apostolic Reformation are going to be playing in the weekend's event, the response? I know you said a lot of them are sort of in that core group of organizers. Do you know specifically what their involvement might look like?
I mean, I think that they're organizing the event. You know, they're coming up with the program, the schedule. I mean, obviously there's other people that probably aren't, you know, in directly involved in the movement that they're involved in planning this organization. It just seems to be that they're the kind of the heart and soul and organizing muscle behind this event. I do know that last I heard, and this may have changed, is that there may be some rapid fire prayer, basically where people will come up for 30 seconds to 2 minutes and do just a very quick kind of prayer, and then they'll bring up somebody else. And the organizers I've talked to have stressed that they want this event to be, you know, apolitical, to be ecumenical, not open to all faiths, but open to all Christians. So it is a Christian event. Obviously there's going to be lots of prayers, going to be lots of fasting. Some of the groups that are helping to organize it, for example, The Call and the International House of Prayer, these are Kansas City-based groups that are kind of at the forefront of the prayer movement. And The Call, for example, has these day-long rallies, which are very voluble, very kind of, you know, almost like a rock concert in terms of the intensity and the energy. I think this will be a little more subdued than that, but, you know, we'll know when Saturday rolls around.
When we hear about Saturday's event, the response, we mostly hear it's an event that Rick Perry has organized. It's sort of his thing. I've never heard of the New Apostolic Reformation. They seem kind of under the radar. Why have we not heard more about them?
Because I think that, I mean, they were pretty obscure, really. I think is the short answer. I mean, there's an incredible diversity in Christianity, of course, and even in the Pentecostal kind of charismatic world, there's a lot of diversity, and this is just one subset of that. You know, the man that's kind of the intellectual sort of force behind this is a man named C. Peter Wagner, who's also an endorser of the response. He's a guy that helped develop the whole church growth model. I mean, he's the guy that helped spawn, you know, 1,000 megachurches. But at some point in the 90s, he became sort of disenchanted with this whole church growth thing and became more focused on this notion that we were entering a new apostolic, this second apostolic age, that the apostles were not just, you know, the 12 around Jesus, that the prophets weren't just, you know, those of the Bible, that in fact, today we still have apostles and prophets. So he kind of helped spawn what is now called the New Apostolic Reformation Movement. New Apostolic because it's the second apostolic age, Reformation because the idea is that in the times leading up to Jesus's return, there has to be the installation of godly government, God in media, God in arts and entertainment, so on and so forth. So it's a particular distinct set or movement within this world, but it was not well known outside of certain circles. It is now because we have major politicians that are engaging with them.
So Rick Perry has made a decision to have these people involved in the response on Saturday. He has a relationship with members and with the organization. What do we glean from that fact? Just the fact that Rick Perry has involvement here and he is looking like he's about to set foot on a national political stage.
Republican candidates for president, especially, you know, leading up to the primary season, need to develop the base. And a big part of the GOP base are evangelical Christians and have been for, you know, decades. And you look for where the energy is in that world because it's not monolithic. There's many things that are going on. It's just like anything else. There's an evolution to churches and to leadership. And I think that this is, in a sense, kind of speculation, but I think that Rick Perry, being a very savvy politician, sees the fervor and the energy in the ranks of the prayer movement and of the sort of apostles and prophets crowd. They've also put together an organization, organizations really, that are both have elements of a movement and elements of a hierarchical organization that one person told me functions kind of like a political campaign in the sense that they have databases that they rapidly deploy to events, that they have charismatic leadership that are able to literally rally the troops. I mean, the call, for example, has the call, they call these events around the country, these prayer rallies, they're similar to that, probably in some respects, the response. And so that's attractive to a politician who's trying to launch probably a presidential bid.
There are people who are going to be listening to this interview and this description of the new apostolic reformation, and they may be troubled by the group's philosophy or their approach, or maybe confused or at least questioning a little bit. Do Rick Perry's advisors, his inner circle, or his office, you know, his gubernatorial office staff, does anybody have anything to say sort of officially on the record about his involvement?
I mean, the response I got from the governor's office was basically boilerplate that they invited everybody who wanted to attend to come to the event. I think the more interesting response about the response came from some of the organizers that I talked to when I asked about, you know, look, I mean, there's just this whole, you know, it's like a who's who list of the new apostolic reformation movement that's involved here. I mean, just kind of what's, was that an accident? And the answer was basically, well, yes. I mean, you can't ignore an important part of the prayer movement, these organizations. However, the event itself is open to all comers, all Christian believers, or those who are willing to come to a Christian event who may not be so. The governor has gotten a lot of criticism from a lot of different angles about the response. So I think they're more kind of caught up in responding to the barrage of criticism more generally rather than focused on, you know, oh, the new apostolic reformation movement is involved. What's happened in the media is that people have pulled out some of the stranger things that some of the leaders of the new apostolic reformation movement have said. For example, a leader in Oklahoma has referred to the Statue of Liberty as basically being a demonic stronghold.
But that doesn't necessarily represent the thoughts of the entire movement.
Not necessarily. But there is a very strong emphasis on demonic strongholds in secular society. So the Freemasons, for example, are controlled by the demon Baal. A woman named Alice Patterson out of San Antonio, who's an organizer for the response, believes the Democratic Party is controlled by essentially Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, and that the Republican Party is controlled by the spirit of Ahab. They believe that the supernatural interact in a very potent way with society and government, essentially. So that's where a lot of the ceremonies that they do, the type of prayer that they do, the way that they talk about the world is going to be a little unfamiliar to a lot of people who aren't familiar with spiritual warfare and that sort of thing.
Governor Rick Perry has not made a firm decision about whether he's going to run for president. All signals seem to be that he is going to make that announcement sometime after the event, the response. The new apostolic reformation presumably then might have a little more of the spotlight turned on them if Rick Perry were to sort of step with both feet onto the national stage. Do you get the sense that they're expecting that exposure? They're ready for it?
If you listen to what a lot of the prophecies are that they're disseminating, that God is presumably telling them that they're then disseminating to their followers, they believe that we're, as a nation and as a state, on the precipice of some great thing. I've heard, you know, third great awakening, some sort of calamity that will then, you know, expedite the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. Part of their philosophy specifically is this thing called the Seven Mountains Dominionism. That's just the term for this idea that Christians are to take control of the, quote, seven mountains of society. We're essentially just all the power centers of society, government, arts, entertainment, media, the family, education, so on and so forth. In order to fulfill what must happen for Jesus's return to earth, what's happening right now with them kind of being pulled or thrust up onto the national stage in a way that they maybe haven't experienced in a long time feels right to them. But at the same time, they're human beings like anybody else. And I'm not sure they're ready for prime time because so many of their beliefs are just going to be very strange and disturbing, even to many evangelical Christians. And that's a problem. That's a liability for Governor Perry, frankly. If you become too closely associated with a movement that is unacceptable or makes Americans feel a little uncomfortable.
You know, you mentioned that this is a, in pragmatic terms, a move that makes sense for a Republican politician, perhaps looking for the national stage to go for the base and where the energy is. But it also could be a liability.
Right. It could pay dividends or it could be a huge liability. And I think that that's just a function of how closely he holds himself out to be in terms of his relationship with these folks. I mean, I think, for example, if you look at the 2008 campaign, both Barack Obama and John McCain ran into trouble because of their affiliation with religious leaders. In Barack Obama's case, it was Jeremiah Wright, Reverend Wright. And in John McCain's case, it was John Hagee, the San Antonio Christian Zionist pastor, who had made a number of remarks that had come to light, including the one that I think kind of did it in, which is he referred to the Catholic Church as the Whore of Babylon. And it, basically, John McCain had to disavow John Hagee because that remark, as you can understand, did not sit very well with American Catholics. If anything, I think the New Apostolic Reformation movement, the apostles and the prophets have said, you know, I mean, dozens of things that might kind of reach that threshold of unacceptability for a mainstream presidential candidate, whether they be Republican or a Democrat.
Forrest Wilder is a staff writer for the Texas Observer. Forrest, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure.